Well, good morning and welcome on this, the day that we celebrate right before what is known affectionately in our culture as a holiday worthy of our attention. It's Christmas season, the day in which we think about the coming of our Lord, and that is really what we're excited about in this next week. But we're excited to be here together with you today to begin a process of worship, Advent, the anticipation of really the beginning of a lot of events that leading us toward even that Passion Week and everything about that, and the setting up of our attention of the cross and the joy that we have because of the suffering of our Savior. But yet we anticipate the birth of our Savior coming up here on the 25th. Looking forward to celebrating with you today, and we're grateful for your presence here this morning. Be in prayer for the Holcombs as they are at home today. They felt like there was enough reason for them to just give pause and not be around someone. They're getting some testing and things like that, and I appreciate Kelly and the crew stepping in here today, and they'll be filling in for him this morning. But we miss them, and looking forward to them being back with us again when they're healthy and able to do so. A few things I want to remind you of, and that is this evening, Awana will be taking place, so don't forget about that tonight, and looking forward to seeing our kids back here this evening. And then there'll be a couple weeks off, December the 27th, January the 3rd, those two Sundays, there will be no Awana in the evening. I want to mention as well that starting on the 27th and 23rd, we will be just having a nursery up to 2 years old. And so next Sunday and the 3rd, no children's church, no other children's activities, no Awana. A couple of Sundays here to let our workers catch a breath, and then we'll be getting back into it on the 10th. Few other things coming up throughout these next few weeks as we anticipate the coming not only of Christmas but also of a new year. A lot of things happening inside of the month of January. Several different missionaries, different ones will be with us, and then also Sanctity of Life Sunday, and then looking forward to a time of interacting with the Pimentels through that the month of January. Part of our discussion is bringing them in, letting us as a church interview them and get to know them a little bit more specifically in relation to the Spanish ministry. And so we'll be dealing with that opportunity in January as well. Another thing that you'll notice in your bulletin is that we are anticipating, planning to work together as a church to read through our Bible in the year of 2021. And in your bulletin, you'll start finding there a little portion that will give to you that week's plan for reading, and that is something for you to look at, have there for you. It is something that we want to encourage you to as a church, as a group of people. We'll try to have some different things that keep you on track and to really challenge us to read through our Bible in the year 21. So make sure that you keep that in mind and be preparing yourself, looking at that, and eventually we'll be having some plans available that you can actually take with you so you can kind of stay on track with that at home. But that is something that we will have in our bulletins throughout. So plan on looking at that, keeping up with us as a group and as a church, and I hope that at the end of the year you'll be able to say, yes, I did it. I did it. And for some, that may be the first time. For some of you, that's, I do that every year. Okay, good. But at the same point, that is something we want to give attention to in the year of 2021. Make sure that you take note of Missionary of the Week with the Day and Ends and the different ones there, school update, different things happening there, a lot of good information there in the bulletin. Continue to pray one for another. We are continuing to pray for Amanda Paris and Mary Ruth Hicks's daughter, and then also Diana Bolin, and a few others that are listed there, ones in recovery, some that have asked us not to necessarily express their names, and yet we know that they're also having some procedures, different things done, have already had some things done this week and going into this next week. So there's some that we're just praying for, and I just ask you to pray in the sense of there's people that are facing some difficulties and some challenges, and just continue to pray one for another as we go through this time, this season, and everything that's happening around us. But we're glad that you're here today, looking forward to our opportunity to worship together here this morning. And so if you would, let's stand together and let's prepare our hearts as we pray together. Then Kelly's going to come and lead us this morning. We have some great Christmas carols that we're going to sing together as a church, and thinking about the coming of our Lord. Father, we're thankful for this morning, and Lord, grateful that in this place we can gather together. And Lord, though this is not necessarily our home, Lord, it is a reminder that really this world isn't our home. We are sojourners, we're pilgrims. Lord, we're passing through, and we are experiencing this life as a way to acquaint us with the need for you as our Savior, and then also to acquaint others with that same need. Now, Lord, this part of the gospel, the story, the wholeness of this, Lord, that began really from the dawn of time itself, as there was a plan enacted that really love could be shown, that grace could be measured, that compassion could be demonstrated. Lord, we thank you for the way that you created and that you have allowed. And Lord, that we are not automatronic, we're not just merely robots. We have the ability to experience your love and to express your love. And Lord, our love for you. And Lord, we're grateful for your relationship with us in the person of Jesus Christ that's made it possible. And Lord, we ask that you'll bless our time here today as we come. That we cherish every opportunity we have as a church to gather together and to worship you in this time. So bless us now, we pray. May you be magnified in everything that we do and say here today. And we'll thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. Good morning to you that are with us. Good morning to you that are watching at home. Please know that you are not forgotten, that we love you, and that we, together as a church, anticipate the time when we can worship together without the hindrances of so many things that have been going on. So let's celebrate our Lord this morning. Let's celebrate these familiar songs, and may the Holy Spirit give us a freshness as we sing them.
Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give ye heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and lamb before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul. Christ was born for this. He
Thank you, John. Let's take your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. And continuing in this thought of Christmas nonsense, as we think about how many times we come to the story, and there are components and pieces of this story that from the human side, from the human element of it, just doesn't make sense. And it seems conflicting, and it seems difficult to imagine that everything as it is written could somehow come to pass. And yet in the beauty of that sense of nonsense, we find that God in his genius has given to us a story that really, is predictable. In that sense of the story itself and the time in which we look at it, something very familiar, and we're not going to be surprised by the ending here today as I read the story. It's not like we come up with another conclusion that you've never heard of before. And yet we understand this story and the sequence, the events, the plot, the timing, and it's the greatest story that's ever been told. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 is where I like to begin, and looking through to verse 25. He says in Matthew 1, 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Father, I pray as we open your word here this morning, as we think about this story. And Lord, the connotation of a story has so many meanings. Is it real? Is it factual? Is it historical fiction? Is this something that really took place? Are these characters legitimate? Could it be possible that a child that is born of a woman could truly be God? And God with us? And Lord, what a story, but yet a story that is true, that bears itself out in the transformation of how many lives that by faith have trusted in what this working could be, what it could mean to every person who would just simply believe that this could be, that this is how God has seen fit to bring about redemption to the world. Lord, lead us through this time together, I pray, and it's in Christ's name. Amen. At the heart of this story is one infant, a baby, a child. A life is at the heart of this story, thinking about that. And Christmas has come because Christ has been born. And so today we come to what I would call the Genesis of Christ. Last week we heard from David as he walked us through those first 17 verses, as he challenged us to think about the origin really of everything that is, and these titles that are found in chapter 1 and verse 1, this idea of the Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, who truly is the son of Abraham. And then as he worked through those different names and the challenge of understanding these places and these placeholders in history, these multiple generations of significant characters that each one played a role, a part in bringing about the story that really is the culmination, the heart of it, is found here in verse 18. Everything that he's been talking about is really leading us to see this one, this person. And so we come to the Genesis of Christ, the birth of Jesus. And it's interesting because that word in verse 18 there, the birth of Jesus, is the same word that's used back up there in verse 1, the genealogy of Jesus. Both is the exact same words. And so it carries with it the meaning of the beginnings, the origins. And in this case, the context teaches us that he is expressly talking about that event, that actual moment in time where this life is birthed into the world. And so we begin to recognize him. And it's not necessarily the beginning of Jesus in the sense of his causative. It's really the identification of him upon this earth, fulfilling a role and a purpose that we understand to be Jesus the Christ. The Messiah is to be born, and all of the events that are set into the motion from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, or even before the foundations of the world were ever laid, God has come to the earth in human form. And that is what we celebrate here on December the 25th. God is with us. Emmanuel. What a name. There is a recitation that I would like for us to do together this morning. It's entitled God With Us and was written by Paul Miller and Jeff Wyatt. This is a recitation that has a part that I'm going to read, and then there is a part that you're going to read together as a congregation. So I'm going to read a portion. Your part is then going to come up on the screens over here, and you're going to be able to read your part. And so I'll read it with you, but we'll read that together, that part, okay? So we'll go back and forth here a little bit this morning as we do this, all right? It's entitled, God With Us. Come, let us adore Him. Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call Him Emmanuel, God with us. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. They will live securely. He will stand in the strength of the Lord. He will be their peace. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, the Virgin Mary. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. I am the Lord's servant. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, and he will shepherd his flock in the name of the Lord. They will live securely. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. His greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. He will be their peace. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, since I am a virgin? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. For nothing is impossible with God. What a reminder of the sense of anticipation. And Matthew records for us the story of Christ beginning upon this earth. The story of the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one, as his titles throughout Scripture would understand. As we think about the introduction here of the gospel, this idea of what Messiah really means. N.T. Wright, he puts it this way. He says that the gospel of Matthew was the early church's favorite book. It was the most quoted, most copied, most read, and the most preached Christian book of the early centuries. And yet Matthew's account has some very different features than Luke's account. In Matthew's account, you find no shepherds in the field. You find no angelic messengers bringing a message to those shepherds, or a host of angels declaring and shouting the good news of peace on earth, goodwill towards men. You never find a story that he included in Matthew about him going expressly to Mary and sharing with her and alerting her to the news of her bearing the child. And none of these components are in the story of Matthew. But what do we find in Matthew? In fact, you find in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, as we already read it in the first part there, now the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. It's sort of like he just simply says, let me give to you some segments of the event. Let me identify to you the process by which we received our Lord, the one that came, the Messiah, and how he came about. This is how it happened. And what do we find in Matthew that makes his so unique? Now, sure, we would love to go to Luke and have him tell us more of the details and fill in more of the story and the gaps, but what Matthew tells us here are some things that are uniquely different, and he begins to give to us something beyond angelic hosts and shepherds in the field. What was Matthew's point in the telling of his story? This story, this timeless, timely tale that would revolutionize the world. What I want to do this morning, I'd like to focus on three parts to Matthew's accounting of the advent of our Lord. The first part that Matthew seems to focus on is this. Number one, the divine conception. It seems to be that everything that Matthew's been writing about up to this point has been leading us to this place, as he says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." Then in verse 20 he says, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" And then in verse 23, "A virgin with child, bearing a son, his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, he refers to Jesus as the Messiah. The one title that Matthew has not used expressly in this passage is a title that we would come to appreciate him saying out loud. He is the Son of God, but yet he implies it by all of these statements, and he clearly lays out that Jesus is truly conceived, that he is born. He is brought about in Genesis from the Holy Spirit, from God himself, and is the Son of God. One key point that Matthew will make all through the rest of this book is that this baby, this man, is truly the Son of God. And over and again throughout the Gospels, you find the religious and the non-religious challenging Jesus as to his purpose, his origins, his title. They accuse him of blasphemy because he does things that only God could do. He offers statements of forgiveness, and in their eyes he acts and he behaves in a way that only God should act or behave. But what does the angel say to Joseph in verse 21? "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." His very name, a form of the word Joshua in the Hebrew, Jesus or Jesus, means Savior, or form of the phrase Yahweh is salvation. Jesus is more than a political Savior. Jesus was the Savior that would restore mankind's relationship with God. In Psalm 130, in verses 7 and 8, it says, "O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Did you realize that Jesus came to remove the barrier between you and your God? He came to take away the separation, the sin, the what we deserved as the consequences, to deliver us from those consequences of our very rebellion. And Matthew wants us to focus on Jesus and him as the Son of God. And that becomes a primary focal point, that as he has moved through the genealogy, he has moved now to this description of the events, and this is what happened in this way. He begins to move our attention to see this divine conception, to reveal to us that this truly is the Son of God. This is that one, that chosen one, that anointed one. He is the Messiah. And for the rest of his book, he will be emphasizing that very fact. But there's a second point, a second focal point that Matthew gives to us in this delivery of this story of the birth of Jesus. Not only do we understand the sense of this idea of divine conception, but second of all, he focuses on a bewildered fiancé. Today in Michigan, Jessica Pollock and Brandon Lutke are coming together in holy matrimony, getting married. Almost 25 years ago, Kelly and I walked an aisle in July of 1996 and had the joy of coming together in holy matrimony. There is something unique about the sense of the union, the anticipation of that, and all that surrounds that. And yet, what an interesting place now we find Joseph in. And it's an interesting way that Matthew focuses in on this. And it's not to say that Luke doesn't do this, but it is really an interesting way that Matthew introduces Joseph to the narrative. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." There's a term that's in this, the term husband here in the English. It really does not take into account the betrothal period. In the day in which Joseph and Mary lived, there would be this time frame of betrothal, and you've probably heard all of this, but to understand that this would be a time frame of about a year in length. There would be a commitment, and everything legality-wise would mean that Mary and Joseph were just as married as Kelly and I are married, or just as married as Jessica and Brandon will be eventually here today, to think about it in the sense that everything in the eyes of their governing body and in their minds, Mary and Joseph were husband and wife. But they had just not yet consummated the marriage physically. Mary has not yet moved into the home of Joseph that Joseph was preparing. There was no final celebration. That week-long feast has not taken place yet. And the fiancé, Joseph, is in a difficult spot. How was he supposed to live out the law of Moses and accept a marriage to a woman who has obviously already been with another man? She's pregnant. Now, there's some interesting descriptors of Joseph in this verse, if you'll notice there as well in verse 19, that he is described as a man that is a righteous man. And then Matthew uses some language to talk about the intentionality, the attitude of Joseph about Mary, and he uses words that I would describe as a man that is truly a generous man. The conflict here between the two statements in this day and his day are very real. You see, the law demanded that she would be stoned. Now, in the New Testament days, that probably wasn't going to happen. Joseph, however, doesn't want to disgrace her, even though by all accounting, she has already disgraced herself. And so he's about to send her away in secret. This son of David, a son of a kingly line, the line that went all the way back to David, he was in a pickle. In verse 20, but when he had considered this, when he had thought about his plans, and he was getting ready to act out his plans, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And again, verse 1 comes and puts tension on the passage, Jesus, the son of David. And the angel refers to Joseph in the same manner, this kingly line, this son of, but wait a minute, hold on. Joseph's not the earthly father. And Jesus, in this setting, and everything about the customs and everything that's going on here, would have been to be adopted by Joseph, which means that Joseph would have to include all of the baggage associated with this relationship. All of the questions surrounding the conception. And Joseph was taken on a lot. Would he do it? And that's where we pause and we come back next week, right? And we finish the rest of the story, to be continued. I mean, that's how all the Hallmark movies would leave you, right? That's when they go to the commercial break, you know? But we know how the story goes, right? He does. He brings this child into his home, into his life, and becomes his representative father. And thinking about this, the line of promise, an eternal king sitting on an eternal throne would be born and adopted by his earthly father. I love how adoption works in Scripture. We have been adopted by our heavenly Father. We are now made children of the Most High God. Christ is the one that will one day rule and reign, and every knee will bow before him, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. This isn't just about a kingdom here and now, but about a position of authority that would even include power over death, hell, and the grave itself. But Christ had to first die for us so that he could offer to us an eternal sacrifice. This sacrifice would be his life through the shedding of his own blood. And then after he comes up out of the grave, and after a few days here, he's on his earth here, and he's spending time with his followers, and he makes ready to go away to prepare a place for us, as John chapter 14 tells us. And in his final words, he turns to his disciples, and he says in Matthew 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came up to them, and he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." The Son of David, this Messiah, the Son of God, has authority. This baby that grew up to show the world who a king truly is. And now, living in that authority, we have this promise that he's going to return for us one day. And he is alive and he is in charge. And one day we're going to be able to sit and enjoy the kingdom that is coming when God is visibly in control, even of this quadrant of the universe. But Matthew points out, here we find this bewildered fiancé in the middle of all of this, trying to discover his role and his place. And yet at the heart of it, it also depicts the generosity and the kindness and the attitude of a father who truly loves a child, who loves a spouse, who is committed to this. And yet in the same sense, he is pulled into the plan of God. And he's part of the process by which an eternal line, a kingly line, is planted upon this earth. Oh, there's a lot more we could talk about this. You could talk about the curse on David's line there through Solomon. You could talk about the differences between the lineage of Matthew chapter 1 and over in Luke's accounting of the different lineages there. You could talk so much about how Jesus was born through a line that really was cursed. There shouldn't be any Moabites. There shouldn't be anything that comes good out of this line. And yet here comes Christ. And I think so many times about my own existence, there isn't anything good that should come out of my existence, and yet it's but because of Christ. Matthew points us to see the hope that we have, the anticipation of authority, the establishment of something that will rule and reign beyond even this earthly plane, to understand the eternality of God's plan. We're all part of something that is bigger than ourselves. We're all part of a greater design, a greater purpose. And yet I'm grateful that God includes me in that purpose. Now there's a third area that Matthew focuses on. He wishes to point out, as he thinks about his accounting of this story, the divine conception, this bewildered fiancé, but notice with me, third, a fulfilled promise. There is something that Matthew is going to continue to emphasize in everything about fulfillment, about hope. All through this, you find the anticipation of something greater to come, something that out of the darkness, we finally start to see a light to shine that brightens the path and gives us then the ability to look, to find something greater at the end of this. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 through 23, again, he says she will bear a son. What's his name going to be? Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. So much is said in these verses, and there is the obvious meaning, and then there is an underlying fulfillment that is also true in this passage. As I mentioned earlier, back in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you have tempted them, you have brought them to a place, cursed are you more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life." And then verse 15, "And I will put enmity, I will put a wall, I will put hatred, I will put a schism between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." This seed of a woman, a child, a human line that would come forth to vanquish the hold that Satan had upon Adam's descendants. And then you have the prophecy by Isaiah where a child born during dark days, as we talked a couple weeks ago about, would show that God had not abandoned the nation, but that a future child would come and his name would be the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. A child whose name would speak of God with us forever since Abraham, a promise of blessing, a promise of a child born to deliver and bring about hope, not just for the descendants of Abraham, but for every nation on the earth. The son of Abraham, and Jesus is his name, has come. And he will deliver the nations, not just Abraham's children by birth, but by adoption. Every person born who puts their trust and their hope in the person of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed, has given hope to an entire world. And all of this came to pass, and hope became sight. Faith became sight. People without hope in the world have been granted peace, have been granted forgiveness, and we can know life and life eternal now because of this child who grew up to be a man, to take our place in death so that we would not have to die for our rebellion against God. It just doesn't make sense, and that's the whole point. This is not how we would imagine God doing such things, but it doesn't make sense that God would do all of this for us. But the genesis of Christ is a new beginning for all of us. For out of Christ comes the way to God, and God now can dwell within us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it is Christmas every day we wake up. Every morning we wake up, we recognize the gift that is dwelling inside of us. And one day another promise is going to be fulfilled, and we will be with God forever in a place called heaven where it'll be free of evil and pain and suffering, no more diseases, no more vaccinations. Death is wiped away. Good is what truly reigns, and peace is all that is known. And it's not a political thing. It's not based upon if you're riding a donkey or riding an elephant. It is where sin no longer exists. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Amen, church? I want to do one more responsive reading in closing here this morning. And this one is based upon John chapter 1, verse 14. And it says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." As we did before, I'm going to read a phrase. I'm going to ask you to read the next one with me. All right? You ready? "Light looked down and beheld darkness. There will I go, said light. Peace looked down and beheld war. There will I go, said peace. Love looked down and beheld hatred. There will I go, said love. And so came light and shone. So came peace and gave rest. So came love and brought life. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Father, I pray as we march into Christmas, another year has come, another day has dawned upon the horizon of anticipation of what is to come. Lord, we wait earnestly for the return of you as our Savior and our Lord. Lord, I'm grateful that through all of the promises and all of the planning, everything that reached to the culmination, to the bringing together, Lord, of strategic people, of strategic places, and a strategic time, and the fullness of time, as Galatians 4 says. The moment when everything was in its place, and the hearts of the people were at their most desperate place, when it seemed like it was the darkest, where hope was being squashed by religious fervor that had no meaning, by political platitudes that only brought more oppression, by a sense of there being a confusion over even the identity of release and the hope that could be gained. Lord, I'm grateful that you did not just send a political savior to free a group of people from a point in time, but Lord, that you sent a true savior that would free all mankind forever. Lord, I thank you for the birth of this one. That in everything we find the genesis of hope. Everything that had been said, everything that had been written down, all those things that the prophets and everybody from the beginning of time has recorded, we can see it in the eyes of this one. We can see it in the arms and the feet, the hands. We can see it in the embrace. And we see it in the outstretched arms of one hanging on a cross that was willing to die for our sins, to give his very life so that we might have life, who would rise again in victory to give us the hope of victory over sin, death, and the grave, to leave us with a promise, you're coming back for us. And if you could make everything work out to get you here, Lord, we know that there is no doubt that you're going to come back again for us here. Or may we live in anticipation, just as every kid is excited about the lighting of a Christmas tree and seeing what gets placed under that tree, or whatever we find as a way of celebrating this Christmas season. Lord, I pray that we would anticipate that every day we wake up, that we get to live with the gift of salvation, of beating new and afresh in our hearts and lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for adopting me, making me your child, bringing me into your family. Lord, thank you for being my God and my Savior. Lord, may we celebrate you today, thinking about you and what you have done to transform our very lives. And Lord, if there's one here today that does not know you, if there's one that's listening today that does not know you as his or her personal Savior, I pray that they would awaken to their need and realize how much you sacrificed and yet how much you gave so that they could know hope, could know life, and to know a life eternal. Speak to our hearts today, and thank you for Matthew's accounting, giving to us a record of your birth. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together, and Kelly's going to lead us in a closing song here this morning. And as we come to the season, may we truly cherish what we have in the person of Jesus Christ, the hope that we possess in him as our salvation, as our gift. Emmanuel, God with us. May he truly be our focus. Let's sing it together. With us, revealed in us.
joining us this morning in person, online. Again, we love you and we have not forgotten about you there. Let me remind you that there are receptacles in the back for your offering if you would like to drop off your offering. Reminder of the activities that will be this evening at 6. And please be prepared to check out the online Christmas Eve service that will be made available. And so you'll get a link to that. Thank you, Pastor Adam, for that word from the Word. We love you. God bless you. Merry Christmas. You're dismissed.